Welcome to the High Voltage Radio Hour. This is your host, Chelsea Schwartz, and today we are taking a deep dive into the latest Warner Brothers release, Wonka. Now, let me just start by saying that I found this movie to be absolutely, positively delightful, and that was a shock for me because we already have a true masterpiece. The 1970s Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory with Gene Wilder is such a childhood favorite and an adulthood favorite for me. And then when we remade it and we had Tim Burton and Johnny Depp putting together Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I love both of them. I love Tim Burton. I love Johnny Depp. But that film was a miss for me. And when I heard we were making another Wonka movie, my thought was, why? Why do we need another one when we already have perfection? And the last one wasn't a great one. So I didn't have a lot of confidence. Then the trailer came out. Well, actually, before the trailer came out, they announced that Timothée Chalamet was going to play Wonka. And I went, really? I mean, I'm not a huge Timothée Chalamet fan. I'm just going to be real honest. There hasn't been anything that's really moved me yet from his performances. And I didn't know if he could pull off Wonka. And then the trailer came out. That trailer was truly cringe, y'all. I don't know what they were thinking with that trailer. And it does nothing to highlight how truly spectacular this movie is. And I think it actually did them a huge disservice. So we're doing this deep dive today so that I can try to convince those of you that have not yet seen Wonka and are maybe skeptical yourself to see it. But also, as we go deeper, and when I'm going to get further into the movie, I will give a spoiler warning. So that way, if you haven't seen it yet and you want to go see it, you can then come back and we can really discuss all the wonderful things of Wonka. But for now, let me just say that this is a multiple genre movie. And that really surprised me as well. I mean, obviously, it was going to be part fantasy. It had a lot of comedy. It is a true comedic film. It is a musical. Surprisingly, a lot of people did not realize it was a musical going into this. So I'm here to tell you that it is. It's a family-friendly adventure. It's also a heist movie. And they seamlessly pull all of these things off. And it's wonderful. And I'm just going to say it right now. That for 2023, Wonka is my second favorite movie of the year. That's right. I said it. It's my second favorite. You're probably wondering, well, Chelsea, what's your first favorite then? Saltburn. But that's a discussion for another day. Or listen to the podcast episode that came out right before this where Sarah Carey and I actually talked about Saltburn for a while. But today, like I said, we are talking about Wonka. I've got my chocolate milk next to me because we can't talk about Wonka without some chocolate. And let's really get into it now. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, this is your spoiler warning. We're going to do the deep dive right now. Go ahead and turn off the podcast. Come back to it after you've seen it. Or if you don't mind spoilers, here we go. All right, Wonka. Y'all, this is the perfect prequel. It's the perfect setup to the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory film with Gene Wilder. And there are so many nods to the original film, like how Timothy at one point goes down some stairs and then goes back up three steps and back down. Just little touches that remind you that this is this character that we've known and loved for years. And it's a prequel. So this is the story before he has the factory, before Wonka is a name. This is the story of how young Willy became Wonka. And literally, it seamlessly goes into the original film. One of my favorite things about it is the music. So obviously, there's a new creation of pure imagination, and there's new Oompa Loompa music, but that same Oompa Loompa cadence that we already know. But then there's all of these other like Broadway-worthy originals. There's songs in this that actually kind of remind me of Cell Block Tango, even in how they're choreographed. So you've got a little like Chicago in there. You also have some like in Sweet Tooth. There's they even joke about having the big cell where they're doing a big dance number to convince the chief to look the other way and do some unthinkable things. But these songs are so catchy. And that's really the first thing I love about this movie is how much these songs get stuck in your head. Every time I've watched this movie, I spend the next 2 days craving chocolate, and I'm not even a chocolate person, and the amount of chocolate I've needed to consume. There must be some sort of subliminal messaging. I don't know. But I'm not mad at it yet. But also, there's a different song that I leave the theater stuck in my head with. And then the next day when I wake up, there's a different one stuck in my head. And for reference, I have seen this movie 4 times as of right now when I am recording this podcast. And every song has ended up being my favorite song at some point. You know, like today I woke up singing Pure Imagination, iconic. When I first saw the movie, Scrub Scrub was my favorite song. And that's the working song of everybody. Well, I guess I should give a little like synopsis of the film, you know. So Wonka finally travels to this unknown, timeless location. This literally could be anywhere in the world. They never really say where it is he's going. But this is where all chocolate, the best of the best, the gallery of chocolatiers exists. And so he's going there to sell his chocolate and make a name for himself. And of course, he runs out of money and he has to get a room somewhere for the night. And they offer him the best deal ever, a really great room for only 1 sovereign. And he has until the next day at 6 p.m. to pay it off. And he knows he's going to make it. But then there's all this small print. Again, another nod to the original movie when all the kids have to sign that contract and there's all the small print. So I think he got that from this moment in this prequel, because he signs this contract without reading the small print. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't just 1 sovereign. He owes 10,000 sovereigns and he gets stuck into having to work at Scrubbits in this laundry room with a bunch of other people that have had similar issues. And they're all stuck working at Scrubbits at 1 sovereign a day, working off their sentence over 27 years, 75 years, 30 years, they all have a different sentence. And their working song, while they're working away their sentence, is called Scrub Scrub. And so this was the first song that I was like, this is the best song in this movie. But then the next time I watched it, it was A Hat Full of Dreams. And then the next time I watched it, it was A World of Your Own. And the one that most iconically gets stuck in my head now is You've Never Had Chocolate Like This. And every time I eat a little bit of chocolate, I actually kind of hear the song in my head again. So I'm going to say that Timothy actually pleasantly surprised me. You know, I'm not a huge fan of Timothy. And going into this, I was a little skeptical. I was concerned. The trailer didn't make me confident. And Timothy had some of the best scene partners around him that really elevated his performance. And some of them even took away from his performance, but not in a way that hurt the movie at all. You know, there's some truly hilarious moments. You've got everything from Rowan Atkinson, who's just always fantastic, as this corrupt priest figure. And then in his church, you've got chocoholic monks. And everything that that happens around these monks and Rowan is just hilarious in its own right. But then you've got the other workers that work at Scrubbits and the Scrubbits team themselves. Olivia Colman is incredible. You've got Rich Fulcher and Jim Carter, who plays Abacus, who becomes his like accountant while they're selling the chocolate. And that the entire team, all of them, so perfectly executed. Patterson Joseph as Slugworth. One of the most brilliant performances in the movie, maybe next to Keegan-Michael Key as well, the chief of police. And together, this entire ensemble needs to be recognized as a whole because they make this movie what it is. And as a result of it, I'm actually like kind of turning around on the idea that I might actually like Timothée Chalamet and be more willing to see more of his projects. That's literally what Wonka has done for me now, which I think is a beautiful thing. Now, I mentioned that the setting of this film feels timeless, and that's because, you know, at the beginning of the movie, there's A Hat Full of Dreams where he talks about being sailing on the ocean for 7 years, and he's had 7 years of hopes on this one location, and now he's finally land ahoy. It's right in front of him. He's here, but they never say where here is. And in the movie, as you're going around this town, it's hard to know where it is by accent. Because you've got like a Brooklyn police chief and then some American accents mixed with some Irish, mixed with some British and like all sorts of stuff going on where it literally just feels like this could be anywhere in the world. And that's the fantasy. That's the pure imagination of this story. Is it helps you believe that hoverchucks and all sorts of magical candies could exist because this isn't quite reality. But it feels like it is. And that's the magic. And I think Paul King really needs to be recognized for this. He is the writer and director behind Wonka. And Paul King has done some incredible work. Like, It doesn't surprise me at all that Wonka turned out so good when you look at his history, because I am a huge fan of the Mighty Boosh, which Rich Fulcher, who is also, he plays Larry, he's the comedian that gets stuck at Scrubbits. Rich was also in Mighty Boosh. And now, like, knowing that Paul was the director for Boosh for both the series and one of the live shows, of course, Rich got brought into this. And I love that kind of collaboration. I love seeing the families come back together. But Paul King also did Paddington. And he's really just, he's somebody we've all got to watch. I'm adding Paul King to my list of, I will watch anything you're writing or directing, because I've loved all of it so far. With that said, I've given a lot of praise to Wonka so far. But there's always things that are not quite what they seem. So let's talk about some of those. The first 15 minutes or so of this movie, I was a little concerned. The first time I watched it, I was like, oh no, if the whole movie is like this, I'm walking away. The second and third times, I would walk out of the movie being like, oh my God, I can't wait to see it again. And then I'd go see it and be like, oh, right, it starts with this weird moment. So let me talk about that. So we just came off of a 6-month Hollywood labor movement strike for both Writers Guild and SAG-AFTRA. And there was a lot of conversation about AI and digital replicas. And as Wonka starts, you can clearly see some visual effects that are probably CG-based, not necessarily AI, of digital doubles. Maybe it's a combination of a stunt double and Timothy, or just a digital replica in general, where he's standing on top of the ship. Also, when he jumps off the truck and spins around the light pole. Also, just when he jumps onto the truck to get into the town. The movement isn't quite human. That really took me out of the moment. And then there's a couple of moments also when they're like dancing that seem a little awkward. And I just went, oh my God, if this movie is going to continue like this, it's going to be so hard to get into it. And then it smooths itself out for the rest of the movie. So that's probably one of my only complaints. And with that said, for the visual effects team, I think part of the reason the trailer was truly cringe was a lot of us looked at the Oompa Loompa, played by Hugh Grant, and went, that is terrifying. And it's because there's a huge difference between the trailer and the final film of how the Oompa Loompa looks. And I think the visual effects team hadn't quite smoothed out everything yet when they released this trailer, in which case maybe don't release the trailer yet, because it looked so much better in the film. So there were digital replica moments where it was like, ooh, rough. But then also moments where it was like, that's really cool. There is an argument to be made, too, of why did we need to cast Hugh Grant as an Oompa Loompa and not have an actor of that stature? Maybe not so much how he dances physically, but like how the songs come about, how they're delivered, how the dialogue is delivered, even just his like back and forth with Wonka when they're singing Pure Imagination. And he's like, come with me. And he goes, where? You know, and Wonka's singing and he's just like, every single line of the song has a comeback. It's great. So I really enjoyed Hugh Grant in this. Another thing I've been hearing a lot of criticism that Timothy isn't zany enough to be Wonka. Let's talk about that for a minute. So this is young Willy Wonka. He has not made a name for himself. He is basically a child. You know, he lost his mother years ago. He's very, I wanted to say naive, but naive is not the right word. As such, we're seeing a very young, optimistic entrepreneur. And in the Willy Wonka movie, we're seeing Willy Wonka at retirement age. There is a long time, period of time, we're talking decades, between the Wonka prequel and the Gene Wilder Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And people can change every few years. Just one bad incident, stressful moment in your life can change who you are and how you approach the world. One of the things I love about this movie is that he gets so slapped in the face by the chocolate cartel over and over and over again that we learn why he becomes the reclusive Willy Wonka that we know in the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory movie. Like, I wouldn't want to deal with the world after that either. Like, leave me alone. Let me make my chocolate. So I actually thought that his very optimistic approach, a little childlike naivete, was perfect, because that's where he's at this point in life. And he still has to get to the other place. And you still see him be zany enough. Like when he's asking Noodle what kind of chocolate she likes, and he's like, white, dark, nutty, absolutely insane. There's moments. You see it. You see the beginnings of this Willy Wonka that we already know and love. And maybe you love him more now. So I don't agree with the criticism that he isn't zany enough. I think Timothy played this perfectly. And with that said, I have got to acknowledge how much I need all of the merchandise for this movie. I've already started. Today, I bought the AMC Theaters exclusive Wonka Loungefly bag. I know that Dolls Kill has an incredible Wonka collection. They've got these like purple swirled flare velvet pants. They also have a Wonka bag that is close to the Loungefly one, but absolutely different at the same time. There's also AMC and Cinemark have Wonka popcorn buckets that look like his suitcase that opens into his tiny factory. There's so many fun things. And this movie is a movie that you're going to want to see over and over. And I hope that they continue to make some Wonka products, because I'm not much of a cosplayer. I do like to Disney bound, but this is a cosplay I could see myself doing. I would like to do a female version of Wonka. I love the mailman pants. I love the jacket. I love the hat. I would like maybe if like her universe could do a tailored purple jacket like his, or the, what is it, more like chartreuse, I think, in this movie. That absolutely needs to happen, in my opinion. But going back to the movie, I do want to take another moment to acknowledge a lot of this ensemble cast again. It was so great to see Jim Carter, who we know and love from Downton Abbey. He was Mr. Carson there, play Abacus. It was such a perfect transitional moment. It almost felt like maybe something happened to Downton Abbey and now he is stuck at Scrubbits. Like one wrong decision put him out in the streets kind of thing. Like you could almost feel it. It just worked for him. It's a very perfect character for him to play. The actress that plays Noodle was a brand new discovery that they searched the world for her. And there's a lot of people I heard complaining that she had one trick, one note, one thing she kept delivering, that they wanted more from her. But I think she needed to deliver that to counter Wonka. She needed, like, you have to think about it. They say that she has orphan syndrome. And when she takes that first bite of chocolate, she says to Willy that she wishes he hadn't done that, because now every day of her life she doesn't have chocolate will be a little harder. And she's basically spent her entire life only knowing the worst of the worst. Everything's been stressful. Everything's been hard. She doesn't have much to look forward to. She's going to be here for the rest of her life. So why should she be happier and more excited and show more emotion? She is very much a pessimistic or realist type of person. I thought this was an extraordinary job from this young actress. Keegan-Michael Key with his ongoing gags were fantastic. Matt Lucas, almost didn't recognize him with the toupee that they put on him. It's so funny how you just add one changing factor onto a person and you can, they become an entirely new entity. But oh my God, his aloofness in this movie was so hysterical, and playing off of Patterson Joseph as Slugworth, so great. Overall, there is just nothing to scrub scrub, get it? Like the song Scrub Scrub. There is nothing to scrub scrub about Wonka, except that I want more. Like, I'm usually the person, especially in this past year, where I'm like, how long is the movie? 3 hours? Is that really necessary? Do we get an intermission? Like, these movies are getting too long. And some of them, like Oppenheimer, the time flies by and it's worth the 3 hours. But for the most part, I'm usually like, that needed to be 30 minutes less, 45 minutes less. That could have been more concise in the storytelling. The things dragged on too long. I walked out of Wonka and was like, I could have sat there for another hour. That was too short. So maybe we get a director's cut in the future, or maybe we could get another movie. But how? You're thinking, Chelsea, if this is the perfect setup into Wonka, into Willy Wonka, how do we get another movie? And let me tell you, if you haven't seen the movie yet, it ends with Wonka adopting this Oompa Loompa as his head of the tasting department to start his brand new factory. And you watch him build the original Willy Wonka factory from the 70s, which is one of the most sentimental moments of the entire movie. I haven't met somebody who hasn't cried during that moment yet of just seeing the original factory come to life. And so if you're telling the story that ends with now he has the factory, what else is there to tell? He just sits there and makes chocolate. You can't just make a movie about him making chocolate that doesn't become the search for the golden ticket, because I don't know if anybody would just watch a movie of him just being reclusive making chocolate. However, there is one remaining question that I think could be a fantastic movie. Are you ready for this? So Lofty, aka Shorty Pants, aka the one Oompa Loompa of this movie that we get to know, decides to not return to Loompa Land because all of his peers look down on him and make fun of him, and it's not a great place to be, and he loves Wonka's chocolate, so why not have all the chocolate he can have and start this new career with somebody who respects him, right? So we've got one Oompa Loompa, we've got Wonka, and a factory. However, in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, we have lots and lots and lots of Oompa Loompas. I'm pretty sure that Oompa Loompas, and I don't know a lot about them, so maybe I'm wrong, that they can't self-reproduce. So how do we go from one Oompa Loompa to an entire factory of Oompa Loompas if they don't get along with each other? Like, at some point, they have to go back to Loompa Land and recruit more people, right? And Loompa Land is supposed to be a very dangerous place. I think there's a whole adventure movie in recruiting the Oompa Loompas to come work with him at the factory. And that is the movie I would like to see. So I'm putting that out there to Paul King and David Heyman and everyone else who worked on this movie, that we need more Wonka, and maybe this is the story that we should be telling. And on that note, that's everything I have to say about Wonka. I really hope you enjoyed my thoughts. I want to hear your thoughts. Please, if you're on Spotify, you can leave a comment on this podcast episode and let me know if you've seen Wonka, what you think of Wonka, what your favorite song is or your favorite moment, etc. Otherwise, I hope you all have a very chocolate-filled holiday season. We'll talk soon.